of course, there's been those cathartic moments that have individuals go, And they're almost like windows that open and then it allows you to kind of step through into a new world and then take you to, to a different level.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you're listening to Into the Fold. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu, and Hogg is spelled H-O-G-G. So September was National Recovery Month, which we observed here at the Hogg Foundation. SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, has an official definition of recovery that we often cite as a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. When we talk about recovery-oriented principles, this is exactly what we have in mind. We put our grant dollars behind the idea that people can do more than just endure their challenges, but can thrive and flourish in spite of them. But this sounds so subjective, so open to interpretation. What about those who are trying to operationalize recovery principles at the community and systems level? What have they learned, and what can we learn from them? Joining us today is a person for whom recovery is not just a mantra, but a paradigm for how systems, organizations, and communities should be structured and function. He is Jason Howell, Executive Director of Soberhood, a recovery community organization that administers the Texas Recovery Oriented Housing Network, as well as two SAMHSA-supported initiatives, Recovery People, the statewide peer recovery network, and Texans for Recovery and Resiliency, a collaboration between the statewide peer recovery and the youth and family mental health networks. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Excited to be here.
So from the intro I just gave, you wear a lot of different hats. If you had to call yourself anything, what would it be?
I guess if I had to boil it down into a phrase, I would call myself a social entrepreneur. I think that, I'm a person in long-term recovery. I self-identify as being in recovery from both mental health and substance use issues.
Yeah.
And what that looked like for me is back in 1998, I really owned up to the fact that I had some mental health challenges and started addressing those. And it took me a couple years, but I finally realized that substance use was a really large factor underneath that. And so sobriety has been part of my story ever since 2002. I think, how I'm wired and the family I come from, it's a lot of entrepreneurs. I also have a master's in business. And so when I started looking at how can I help more people access recovery, that's where I just wanted to kind of focus my natural skill sets around entrepreneurship into the recovery space. And I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And it's really exciting to be in recovery and the recovery movement at this given time because there's so much momentum right now.
Okay. And so whenever I find myself trying to define recovery for myself, for someone else, I can often do no better than a laundry list of synonyms. Mm-hmm. So empowerment, self-directed, flourishing, et cetera. But I think for a lot of people, certainly for me, contrast can be very helpful. So if you're part of a recovery-oriented community or organization, what in your experience is absolutely the case and what is absolutely is not the case with anything that's recovery-oriented?
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of the words that you used, I mean, those are completely valid. I think that when I think of recovery and I'm trying to translate it for the outside world, it's really around wellness, that self-directed wellness. Recovery from mental health or substance use issues, both of these are chronic illnesses, conditions. And so recovery is a lifelong process. And it's self-directed. It's kind of voluntary. Nobody can force you to recover. So to that extent, it needs to be self-directed. And it's really about empowering an individual. You know, I think medications are helpful. You know, access from a substance use side, getting people connected to detox is life-saving. Yeah. Getting them connected to treatment can be very stabilizing. But really, how do you embrace and embody this concept around recovery? And it's really a lifestyle change. It's a paradigm change. I've oftentimes heard people describe it about transplanting yourself from a culture and lifestyle of addiction into a culture and lifestyle of recovery. And I know that for me, when I was in active addiction and someone would talk about recovery or abstinence, I was like, what are you talking about? How can you even function? I could not visualize what that would look like, mm-hmm. Or even have the hope of that could be me. And I think that's why connecting individuals with people who walk that path, who are living recovery, who are reflecting recovery principles is so key, because then you start kind of getting this sense of, oh, wow, I can do that. I want to do that. How can I? And so having individuals, mentors that can point you in a direction, help you find your own path, is so critical.
Okay. And so it's often said that recovery is a never ending journey, mm-hmm. or process.
Correct.
But even with that, was there any watershed moment for you that really stands out as putting you on your current recovery trajectory? If you had any that you would single out?
Oh, I think I continue to have watershed moments, yeah. and that's probably what my life is going to continue to look like. But of course, there's been those cathartic moments that have individuals go, and they're almost like windows that open, and then it allows you to kind of step through into a new world, and then take you to to a different level, and. Those for different people, those that can be different things. I think the important thing is getting individuals, well, let me back up. First, helping cultivate this ecosystem of recovery support services. So there's really no wrong door. Yeah. So when individuals are having the window open for them, that there are resources and people and communities just readily available to reach out a hand and help them walk through that window.
Okay. So you mentioned the recovery ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So let's get to a couple of examples of your own efforts to contribute to that. So you're executive director of Soberhood, a recovery community organization, or RCO. Mm-hmm. How does an organization gain that designation? And what does that mean for its governance structure? Who regulates and oversees them?
Great, great question. So one of the key distinguishing factors in a recovery community organization is that it is governed by persons in recovery or even family members in recovery. So it's inherently rooted in recovery and guided by lived experience. RCOs can focus in on a couple of different things. Some provide recovery support services, so they're direct service providers. That could look like recovery coaching, facilitating recovery groups, providing a recovery community center, recovery housing. There's all different types of recovery support services that should be in every environment. And I think another key responsibility for RCOs is advocacy. How do we mm-hmm. empower the voice of lived experience to help shape policy and programming? Because there's so many people that are in a position of power that are making decisions, funding decisions, policy decisions, that they may not know anyone in recovery. They may not know that recovery is possible. And who better to guide policies that would support someone along that path than people who've been there, that really understand the systems and the barriers and the solutions from the ground level. You mentioned some of the programs that we had. You know, our recovery people. It originally started back in 2012 as a podcast, very similar to what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And then we were very fortunate to win a SAMHSA grant. SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, to develop a statewide network of individuals and families in recovery, recovery organizations, and create this kind of infrastructure, if you will, across the state. And we termed that project Recovery People. We were able to put on Recovery Capital Conference, retreats, lots of different trainings, and also had Recovery Day at the Capitol. That program became so popular. Recovery People as a brand resonated so well that our community and our board voted that we should rebrand Soberhood away from Soberhood into Recovery People, because it's resonating so well. And so just recently we officially, at least the board officially voted on that. And so now we're in the active process of relaunching our website and getting all the details changed, but it's very exciting.
Okay. So, getting to another of the hats that you wear, the Texas Recovery Oriented Housing Network. As I understand it, you certify recovery residences. So what's the certification process like? How many recovery residences are there in Texas? Are there any shining examples?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Recovery housing has been such a vital part of my recovery and things I do. So I'm very passionate around it. I mean, everybody needs housing. And for individuals that are on an absence pathway to recovery, you know, how do we get them into an environment that supports that pathway? And really, where do they learn to live recovery? And that's recovery housing or recovery residences. So going back to when Soberhood first formed, we created the nonprofit to establish a LGBT recovery home, a recovery home specifically for LGBT kind of starting and sustaining recovery. And we quickly realized that there was no roadmap. Where are the standards? What are the national best practices? And so in 2010, we got really heavily involved with a movement, which eventually formed into its own national organization called the National Alliance for Recovery Residences, or our NAR. For your listeners, they can find out more information at NARRonline.org. And brought national leaders together, realized that there were really four different types of recovery residences or levels of support, and establish best practices. And then from there, the national organization offers states the ability to certify recovery residences. And so our TRONE project, or the Texas Recovery Oriented Housing Network, is the program that brings the national standards to Texas and certifies recovery residences here. I should have looked at our website today to see how many providers that we have certified. And then a lot of those providers have multiple homes. It's safe to say that Texas has a lot of recovery housing. And more are starting to adopt the standards. Although I look forward to state support and maybe some legislation that would help incentivize providers to use best practices. Because if we, going back to the eco system, if we want to create an ecosystem of safe, sober, and quality recovery housing options for people, then we need to incentivize the marketplace to do that. It gets tricky because as individuals in recovery, we meet the civil rights definition of disabled, and that's a protected class.
Yeah.
And so if the government comes in and says, we're going to regulate housing for individuals in recovery, essentially they're saying we're going to regulate the housing based on someone's disability. That's the same as them saying we're going to regulate housing based on the color of someone's skin or what church they go to. And so that's just illegal under federal fair housing law. So looking at bringing in this voluntary certification program and then incentivizing individuals to become certified is this way that we can balance protecting individuals' housing rights with promoting quality capacity.
Okay. So Soberhood, then its evolution into Recovery People. Mm-hmm. I guess you could call that one of the fruits of social entrepreneurship. One thing that I wonder with entrepreneurs in general, because, you know, a lot of their work is, I mean, some are lone wolves a little bit more than others are. Some are very collaborative, even mm-hmm. though, you know, they're their own bosses. Where can you turn for mentoring and support for the kind of work that you do?
Thank you for asking that question, because that's the most recent SAMHSA grant that we won is to develop a recovery incubator, and it's for these social entrepreneurs kind of working in and around the recovery space. You're right. I mean, we've got to create new business models out there, and business models that are true to recovery principles, but that are also sustainable. And I think that's been something that's been lacking in the marketplace. You know, we've got individuals who are very passionate about recovery and put together service models and business models that hold true to recovery principles and do amazing work, but they are struggling to be sustainable. And on the other side, you have individuals that come in with a very strong business acumen who quickly start snapping together revenue models that end up driving the program or the service models that may or may not be supporting recovery principles. And so there's a way that we can balance both. And so what we're proposing, what Recovery People's proposing or proposed, is to use the concept of well-proven concepts around business incubators and business accelerators and bring those concepts into the recovery space so that we can find balance and have quality recovery support services that are also sustainable.
Okay. So we are talking about how one operationalizes recovery principles.
Yeah.
And Jason Howell is here to drop some wisdom about the role that social entrepreneurship can play in that. And what he's learned about himself in so doing. So we wish you all the success in the world and also future sustainability for your efforts. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for this opportunity. I really appreciate the work that y'all do. And it takes a village. All of us together will help this recovery movement move forward. Thank you.
Thanks.